This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.
Hello there, welcome to you. Thanks for joining us. This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. I'm Peter Gowers. I hope you've had a great week. Let's get to the NT Independent online newspaper now and chat to Chris Walsh, the editor. Walshy, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm good, Pete. Good to see you again.
It's good to see you too. And mate, I feel like these times, they are changing.
I don't know about that at all.
Really?
How do you mean?
I just feel there's change in the air. I mean, Daniel Andrews in Victoria's gone bye-bye. The Premier of Queensland, the Pallet Jack, she's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like maybe these parties that were ruling during the COVID era, where they got the unfair bump and therefore re-election, I feel like the smart ones are realizing, yeah, my time's done. Really, we should pass on the baton.
Yes. Well, you would think that would catch on over here. And, of course, our chief minister's only been in charge for 19 months or something. But, it seems like a lot longer than that. That it might be time.
Feels like a lot longer.
And
the party's been in charge for a bit more than that. And because she was the deputy chief minister at the time of the previous guy, whose name I can't even remember, it feels like it's the same regime.
Yeah. It really has been. And despite her saying she was putting her mark on her own leadership, we've seen no signs of that whatsoever.
More of a stain.
Yeah, exactly. And she's really sullied the office here now. Right. And, we talked about it last week, and we'll probably talk about it more on the weekend. Mm-hmm. But, look, the credibility's gone. So when that happens, you don't have much else as a politician to fall back on.
No, that's exactly right. And to kick off this episode of News Bites, there's a few things on her task list as well, including the fact that the Chief Minister and now her senior advisor have been referred for possible criminal conduct to the ICAC and the police.
Yeah, Pete. Yeah, look, this is about as serious as it gets here for a politician. And can I just say that, this isn't done lightly either by, it was Mark Turner who referred her. And now Mark Turner is a former police officer. And so he has knowledge of the criminal code. And I've seen him in Parliament actually be probably the best informed. I mean, he reads the procedures, he reads the rules. Remember, he's the one who pointed out the files had actually breached the ministerial code of conduct by not divesting those Woodside shares. So when he's sending this to the ICAC and asking that the police get involved as well, he's gone through the criminal code, he's spoken to lawyers, and he's brought this forward to restore integrity, the integrity that we're losing every day here in our parliamentary system. And our democracy overall. So what he's done here is, he's referred now Files and Gerard Richardson, the advisor / lobbyist, gas industry lobbyist, for possible criminal conduct, including allegedly advancing, it's called advancing secret personal interests. Yeah, so that's a pretty serious one there. You've also got the questions around the advisors, Richardson's consultancy company acting as a registered lobbyist for Tamburin, of course, conflicts there, and files breaches of the ministerial code of conduct for not immediately divesting her shares in another gas company. He's also stated, and I think this is interesting to note too, that he's only moved to refer this now for investigation because cabinet has ignored their responsibilities in this.
Yeah.
Remember in the cabinet handbook and the code of conduct, it says that when breaches happen by the chief minister of the code, that the cabinet needs to hold a meeting immediately and discuss what they're going to do about it. Now, from everything we can tell, that's never occurred. You've had, Manison come out and say stupid things about how it was absolutely appropriate that her senior advisor runs a company of only two people that profits off of the gas industry and lobbies on behalf of like the biggest player in the Beetaloo area here. I mean, that it's not appropriate at all. So Turner said, look, that they've ignored, cabinet's ignored. So I've sent this on. We'll get into a bit more on the weekend here, but look, one of the other things, and there's going to be more coming on this too, Pete, It's Wednesday now. Yeah, there'll be more before the weekend for sure. And it does appear that some people in the party are not happy about this and how this has all gone down. And files today, one of the things that was referred to was that Turner had asked for an investigation into the finances around how she was using taxpayer money to hire a guy to come in and do electioneering campaigning for her. She's admitted today on ABC Radio. She even said, oh, yeah, I agree. It doesn't pass the pub test. And she said, and I've, yeah, used taxpayer money to hire this guy, but he's only given me election advice and, you know, political stuff. Like, it's unbelievable. She doesn't even realize how bad this is. So the IACAC is going to be, if he ever gets around to doing his job, I know that's a thing like the Easter Bunny or Santa doing something for us. But he's going to have to start doing this. Now the question will be whether she can stick around being under investigation for serious ethical breaches like this and breaches of the public trust. But we'll get into more of that on the weekend because there's going to be a lot more coming out.
Yeah, that sounds good. And just before we move on to the next story, if it is true that others in the party, obviously other than the Deputy Chief Minister and the Chief Minister, if others in the party do think that this is wrong and shouldn't be happening, then for Christ's sake, come out and say it. Because at this stage, you're all covered under the same shroud until you do.
Yeah, good point, Pete. And look, I think the party members know that this is not good. And so when the rank and file, they're getting upset about this, they've got to respond.
Yep, absolutely. Speaking of another story where it seems quite odd, Chris, investigators have come out this week and said that the actions of both the CEO and the mayor were not part of the investigation into the Barclay Council, which is just laughable. But how could this have actually happened?
Well, I think that this is the Northern Territory under Chief Minister Natasha Files, where people seem to think they don't have to do their jobs properly anymore, because why bother if the Chief Minister can get away with all of this stuff? It's alarming and concerning and shows that it's completely ineffective. Now, of course, Barclay Regional Council, as we talk about most weeks now, it seems, still suspended. But of course, there was the investigator that the minister brought in to investigate. Now, she has told of this lawyer who was appointed to investigate the council has told a former employee that she's been excluded from examining code of conduct complaints against elected members, chief executive officers, or other staff, despite, as we know, all of these allegations of bullying, harassment, and mismanagement at the council, which included the bungled handling of a sexual harassment complaint made by a young Indigenous woman. And she's saying, well, I can't really examine this stuff. That's going to fall out of the code of conduct stuff. It's unbelievable. I mean, what are they doing? They're wasting everybody's time if they're not investigating that. And,
and we know all the problems. The people who there. Multiple complaints were made about, and they can't we can't investigate them. Ridiculous.
Yeah. So, this was a story that Woody had, and he had done some other work here looking into terms of references, et cetera, for that investigation, which we think we'll understand a little bit more of soon enough. But, there's a lot going on here at council, and it's something that we'll get into more on the weekend because, this is unbelievable. This is a waste of everybody's time now.
It is, and money. Worse still, more taxpayers' money. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Chris, as we lead up to Christmas, of course, everyone's looking forward to their holiday and their time off and their break. Sometimes it's by choice. Sometimes it's due to businesses shutting down over that period and having an enforced break, which, each to their own, depending on how they operate things. But just as that kicks in and people are going to be winding back and watching things that are foreign to you, such as the Boxing Day test and, getting into the spirit of the holiday season, bottle shop trading hours being reduced kicks off.
This is with a lot of controversy. People didn't know, a lot of business owners didn't even know what the deal was and when their hours would be reduced. Some of them, in fact, in one town were only informed on Friday that they'd be subject to the new rules that took effect on Monday. So it's going to see reduction in bottle shop trading hours in Darwin, Palmerston, and parts of the rural area. It would be changed from 10 a.m. to noon for when they can open Monday to Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Weekend and public holiday opening hours remain the same. It's a trial, of course, until January 25th, when it will then be reviewed, Files has said. Now, the affected area ends before Humpty Doo. So it and Nunema, Berry Springs, and Darwin River Tavern are not included.
Right.
In this. So
good to know.
If anybody wants to drive a little bit further.
Yeah.
And look, Hospitality NT, of course, saying that the licensees of two bottle shops in Howard Springs only found out on Friday they were part of the trial. Yeah, they just weren't informed and, of course, are upset about that. And also, you know, what they say will affect people buying, stopping in, buying gifts, you know, buy a bottle, go somewhere and do that in the morning. And now it's all going to be closed. Now, of course, the government's saying that they need to do this in order to control crime.
Right.
Right. Yeah, so this is
all those crimes happening between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.
Yeah. Look, yeah, they're going to still get the booze. And I think that's what most people are saying. She thanked them for working with her on this new process, thanked the bottle shop owners. So the changes, you know, also that we saw, which were announced earlier, was the bottle shop trading restriction hours would be changed. Changes to give police more powers, including to ask for identification of public drinkers acting disorderly, which the government said would lead to more people put on the banned drinkers register and an immediate 7-day banned drinker order applied. And security guards at bottle shops are to be armed with capsicum spray. Remember, Sparky said that.
That will fix it.
Yeah. So, and of course, we knew back then that when they had announced they were changing the hours, although we weren't sure where and how that would apply, that, of course, Hospitality NT was upset because Files told them just the week before that she would not be changing the trading hours whatsoever. Mm. And it was pretty interesting, her on radio last week when she was caught out in that and said, you know, was asked, like, but you lied. And she said, no, I just told them one thing and did something else. And they, you know, it was something like that. And it's like, yeah, well, okay, you just misled them.
Yeah.
Well, no problem. So, anyway.
I do one thing, yet I did another.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about this a bit more on the weekend too, Pete, because, we'll see and hopefully we'll get some sense of how this is affecting people and if it's actually contributing to reducing crime. I think that'll be the big test for it, but we will see.
And something that I'll talk about on the weekend is a glaring flaw in this whole thing.
Looking forward to it.
I'll point it out on the weekend, mate. I will catch you for the weekend edition.
Great. We'll see you then, Pete. Thanks.
That was Chris Walsh from the NT Independent. Weekends with Walshy back again on the weekend. That will be released around 7 a.m. Saturday morning. We'll catch you again next week on the Territory Story Podcast News Bites.
That was the Territory Story News Bites for this week. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.